Hello and welcome to this Microsoft TechNet session on Painless Data Protection. My name is Joel Barker. As in previous installments of this webcast series, Microsoft Consulting has been hired by the Contoso company to help move their infrastructure from a basic to a dynamic environment. This session covers the management and protection of data. Contoso approached Microsoft with several concerns about data protection and management. The company needs a centralized way to manage and secure data, to reduce the cost of owning this data, as well as the cost of recovering, whether it is simple document deletion or a major site failure. Having identified the challenges and some possible solutions, we will then present some technologies and tools that can be used to implement the solution to Contoso's key challenges. Finally, by the end of this session, you should know why Storage Server was used, why Data Protection Manager was included in this design, and how the overall solution was aided by using Active Directory and Group Policy as a way to ensure user behavior for data storage, all without users being aware of it. As we go through today's session, you will hear various Microsoft acronyms and terminology. While we will explain all new terms related to today's session, there are some general terms from the industry or other versions of Microsoft products we may not spend time on. To help you out, we've listed out the areas that it may be helpful to be familiar with either prior to this session or to reference afterwards. To get the most out of this session, it's helpful if you've had experience administering Windows desktops and servers, because that's what will be managed by the features and services described in the I/O model. In addition, Windows Active Directory is central to our desktop solution. An understanding of the Active Directory object structure and access control will be helpful as we look into solutions for Contoso. Finally, we will also be using Data Protection Manager. Therefore, some knowledge of Data Protection Manager will help as we implement it into our solution. To cover the topics mentioned in the earlier slide and keep the session flow going, we have divided the session up into the following agenda. Today's session will start with a review of the past and current Contoso data protection and management practices. We will then look at some of the key challenges that Contoso is facing and some of the possible solutions. Next, we will discuss how to implement centralized storage. We will examine Windows Storage Server and other tools available to help centralize storage. After Contoso has managed to centralize all of its data, the next step is to back up this data. We will examine several different backup options available and then design a backup deployment plan for Contoso. Finally, we will examine more tools that will help Contoso with centralized storage and backup. We will talk about some common issues with data that result in the need for tools such as Data Protection Manager or DPM, and see how DPM addresses these needs and challenges. First, let's start with a review of Contoso's past and present state with regards to data protection and security. In the early days, Contoso's data was stored locally. However, even in the basic workgroup environment, data wasn't always stored on the few servers the company had. Even with the implementation of Active Directory, the data profile of the company stayed the same. User behavior is not the easiest thing to change. It also started to become increasingly costly to store this data. Not that disk space is expensive per se, but it becomes so when each department starts buying external USB drives, DVD burners, or tape drives to perform the sporadic backups that do take place. The company needs a centralized way to manage and secure this data. Contoso is facing several key challenges. First, more network storage is needed. Storage needs are increasing, but currently storage is not being managed well and data is not being backed up or secured. New storage needs to be added. User data needs to be stored centrally so that more data can be shared and located when needed, and be tracked for compliance. Another key challenge is the fact that Contoso needs better backup and restore policies and capabilities. Much data is not currently being backed up because it's not currently centrally located. All user data needs to be backed up so that it can be preserved in the event of disaster. Furthermore, files need to be secured and user data needs to be protected. Fortunately, we have many solutions available to overcome all of these challenges. Storage needs to be increased to accommodate centrally shared and managed storage. In addition, the type of storage must integrate well with existing identity management, such as Active Directory and Microsoft Identity Integration Server, and it should support a robust security solution. Added storage should also be scalable. Windows Storage Server provides a cost-effective, scalable solution that integrates with Active Directory. Common user data storage locations must be consolidated, and user data must be stored centrally. Group policies can be used to redirect common user data storage locations to the central storage location. Backups must be implemented at this central location. The existing backup and restore software included with Windows should suffice for this. Once data is centralized, it should be easier to ensure that all critical data is protected by backups. To ensure data is secure on the storage server, a solution is needed to provide robust security. Data Protection Manager integrates with Windows File System and Active Directory and provides robust file protection, both now and in the future. Data Protection Manager can also be centrally managed and monitored with Microsoft Operations Manager, also known as MOM, so it fits well in the management infrastructure. Let's move on to the next item on the agenda, implementing centralized storage. In this next agenda item, we'll see what tools are needed and how they are used to help Contoso centralize user and application data. Using the power of Windows Server 2003, Windows Storage Server 2003 R2 helps organizations store and protect valuable user data. From branch office file serving to full data center integration, Windows Storage Server 2003 R2 is the dependable and scalable choice in storage. The hardware is easy to install and manage and offers a wide array of features that simplify file serving and the backup and replication of stored data. Windows Storage Server 2003 R2 is built on the proven Windows Storage Server 2003 family code base with all of its superior security, stability, and management advantages, and is Microsoft's third generation NAS product. Windows Storage Server 2003 R2 provides dependability through high reliability, availability, fast data recovery, and replication. Windows Storage Server 2003 R2 is a dedicated file and print server that has all functionality unrelated to file serving removed, thereby increasing reliability and lowering the overhead on the device CPU. Built-in hardware redundancies are included in most solutions to provide a fully redundant architecture. Windows Storage Server 2003 R2 makes possible the creation of high availability solutions with native support for multi-mode, up to 8 failover clustering. With support for Microsoft Multipath I/O, or MPIO, from host to storage, high availability solutions at the data transport level can also be implemented. Combining these features with distributed file system can help ensure the availability at the file and physical device level. Using the shadow copy of shared folders feature, you can restore deleted or corrupted files within minutes instead of the hours it can take to restore from tape. Built on VSS, this feature can store up to 64 point-in-time copies per volume and allows end users to recover previous versions of files. Windows Storage Server 2003 R2 allows you to increase data availability and provide disaster recovery by creating multiple copies of data on remote servers over local area networks or wide area networks using an integrated technology solution. Windows Storage Server 2003 R2 integrates smoothly with many different infrastructures and devices. For example, it includes heterogeneous support for protocols such as SMB, NFS, AppleTalk, and NetWare, allowing data to be shared among different platforms. In addition, native integration with the Active Directory directory service avoids the need to make network changes when deploying Windows Storage Server 2003 R2 storage devices. Windows Storage Server 2003 R2 is fully compatible with server management tools such as Microsoft Windows System Management Server, Tivoli, and HP OpenView, as well as with popular antivirus software, allowing you to get the most out of current investments. The hardware also integrates natively with Active Directory, enabling the use of group policy objects, Kerberos authentication, and encrypting file system to preserve data security. A Windows Storage Server 2003 R2 device can integrate with a SAN by acting as a gateway to it. Support for SANS in Windows Server 2003 includes remote boot with flexible volume mounting and an enhanced driver model to support SAN deployment scenarios. It also supports the iSCSI protocol, making it easy to integrate with IP data transport environments. Windows Storage Server R2 is the best economical choice because of low acquisition and installation costs, low cost of total ownership, and it has scalable solutions to grow with your business. It makes possible some of the lowest cost per gigabyte solutions in the industry. These solutions can be deployed in minutes by using the web-based user interface to connect to the network, join an Active Directory domain or local work group, add users, create shares, or select file sharing protocols. Consolidating multiple file servers onto a single device reduces server management overhead and associated IT staff costs. Devices can be remotely managed using a web-based user interface, simplifying maintenance and providing centralized control of processes like backups, restores, and upgrades. Windows Storage Server 2003 R2 enables IT administrators to easily manage growing amounts of data and take advantage of high scalability to expand storage capacity as needed. With this scalability, a pay-as-you-grow strategy can be implemented to ensure the efficient use of storage hardware resources. In the following demonstration, we'll cover several points related to the deployment. In this demonstration, we will be setting up the Windows Storage Server for Contoso to enable them to implement and maintain a server for central storage of application and user data. File Server Management provides a centralized tool for managing your file server. Using File Server Management, you can perform many file server management tasks, such as formatting volumes, creating shares, defragmenting volumes, creating and managing shares, setting quota limits, creating storage utilization reports, replicating data to and from the file server, managing storage area networks, and sharing files with Unix and Macintosh systems. The tasks you can perform depend on the features selected when you installed the file server role. The tools in the Share Management category allow you to share data with remote users by creating and managing shared folders. You can also perform advanced tasks like file server consolidation, configuring share offline settings, and enabling end-user recovery with shadow copies for shared folders. The tools in the Disk and Volume Management category allow you to manage the disk and volume configuration of your servers. You can create, format, extend, or delete volumes on local disks or on a SAN. Depending on your performance and reliability requirements, you can also create a fault-tolerant or striped volume. To provide simplified yet redundant access to files, you can group shared folders located on different servers and present them to users as a virtual tree of folders known as a namespace. You can use DFS replication to increase the availability of files in a namespace, distribute files to multiple servers, and collect files at a central server to back them up using backup software. File Server Resource Manager, or FSRM, gives administrators more knowledge of and control over what and how much is stored on file servers. First, FSRM provides administrators with both on-demand and scheduled reports detailing storage use. Second, FSRM folder-based quotas allow administrators to limit the size of folders and volumes. Third, FSRM file screening controls the type of data stored in a file or folder, permitting both the name-based screening of files and allowing and disallowing file creation on specified folder trees. We'll look closer at this tool later in the demonstration. Later in the demonstration, we will be redirecting Contoso's users' My Documents folders to a central location. Using the Share a Folder wizard, we can create a shared folder for the user data that will be stored on this server. This wizard helps you to share a folder through several simple steps. First, we type the name of the folder we want to share. Then, we can change the share name and add a description to the share. We can also change the behavior of the offline file settings at this time by choosing whether and how the contents of the share will be available to users who are offline. We will accept the default by allowing only the files and programs that users specify to be available offline. Share permissions apply only to users who gain access to the resource over the network. They do not apply to users who log on locally, such as on a terminal server. We've successfully completed the share a folder wizard and our user data folder is now shared. File Server Resource Manager is a suite of tools that will allow Contoso administrators to understand, control, and manage the quantity and type of data stored on their servers. By using File Server Resource Manager, Contoso administrators can place quotas on folders and volumes, actively screen files, and generate comprehensive storage reports. This set of advanced instruments not only helps the Contoso administrators to efficiently monitor existing storage resources, it also aids in the planning and implementing of future policy changes. When you create quotas and file screens, you have the option of sending email notifications to users when their quota limit is approaching or after they have attempted to save files that have been blocked. If you want to routinely notify certain administrators of quotas and file screening events, you can configure one or more default recipients to send these notifications. We must specify the SMTP server to be used for forwarding the email messages. You can configure the default parameters for storage reports. These default parameters are used for the incident reports generated when a quota or file screening event occurs. They are also used for scheduled and on-demand reports, but the default parameters can be changed when defining the specific properties of these. You can quickly examine the configuration of all the reports by selecting Review Reports. This will bring up a list of every report and its matching parameters and values. You can specify the location where storage reports will be saved on disk. A default path has been defined, but it can be changed if desired. There are three types of reports. Incident reports are automatically generated when a quota or file screening event occurs. Scheduled reports are generated when there is a schedule defined in the storage reports node. And finally, on-demand reports can be generated manually in the storage reports node. By using File Server Resource Manager, you can record file screening activity in an auditing database. The information saved in this database is used to generate the file screen audit report. The Quota Management node of the File Server Resource Manager enables you to perform several tasks. You can create quotas to limit the space allowed for a volume or folder and generate notifications when the quota limits are approached or exceeded. Also, you can generate auto quotas that apply to all existing folders in a volume or folder, as well as to any new subfolders created in the future. And finally, you can define quota templates that can be easily applied to new volumes or folders and that can be used across an organization. With File Screening Management, we can create file screens to control the types of files that users can save and to send notifications when users attempt to save blocked files, define file screening templates that can be easily applied to new volumes or folders and that can be used across an organization, and create file screening exceptions that extend the flexibility of the file screening rules. The Storage Reports feature within the File Server Resource Manager allows several reporting tasks to be completed, such as scheduling periodic storage reports to allow us to identify trends in disk usage. We can also monitor attempts to save unauthorized files for all users or for a selected group of users. Using the Storage Reports node within the File Server Resource Manager, we can generate many useful storage-based reports. Microsoft Windows Server 2003 Group Policy enables administrators to manage configurations for groups of computers and users, including options for registry-based policy settings, security settings, software deployment, scripts, folder redirection, remote installation services, and Microsoft Internet Explorer maintenance. By using Group Policy, you can significantly reduce an organization's total cost of ownership. Because of factors such as a large number of policy settings available, the interaction between multiple policies and inheritance options, group policy design can be complex. By carefully planning, designing, and testing a solution based on your organization's business requirements, you can provide the standardized functionality, security, and management control that your organization needs. Group Policy and Active Directory are key components of the IntelliMirror management technologies. Through these technologies, IT administrators can implement standard computing environments for groups of users and computers. As a result, IntelliMirror can significantly boost user productivity and satisfaction while increasing administrator efficiency and reducing IT costs. By using IntelliMirror to manage user data, such as My Documents and other home folders, Contoso will realize several benefits. For example, users can work with a consistent computing environment from any computer, such as when their desktop or laptop computer is unavailable. User profiles are stored on a server so that the profile is available from any machine. In cases where users are not assigned a specific computer, hardware and administration costs are reduced as well, because users can log on to any available IntelliMirror managed computer and work in a familiar environment. Contoso users will be excited to know that they can continue to work efficiently even when network connections are intermittent or even disconnected. Under these conditions, uninterrupted access to user and configuration data can be enabled. IntelliMirror eases the IT task of implementing centralized backup of user files while satisfying the need for these files to remain available on users' computers. Another benefit of IntelliMirror is that Contoso IT administrators can enable centralized backup of user data and configuration files. Centralized backups ease the IT workload and satisfy users' need for files to remain available on their computers. Contoso administrators can also enable automated installation and repair of applications, reducing support costs by using Windows Installer to repair application installations automatically. Now we'll have a demonstration on configuring group policies to centralize user data. In this demonstration, we will set up a group policy object in which all user data will be moved from the user's local drives to the newly installed Windows Storage Server Share. Folder redirection allows administrators to redirect the path of a folder to a new location. The location can be a folder on the local computer or a directory on a network file share. Users have the ability to work with documents on a server as if they were based on a local drive. The documents on the folder are available to the user from any computer on the network. Folder redirection is located under Windows Settings in the console tree of the Group Policy Object Editor. Contoso wants to ensure that each user's My Documents folder is redirected to a central location. Currently, a user's My Documents folder is stored locally and, consequently, no unified backup plan is in place. We will use Group Policy to redirect user's My Documents folder to a central location. Group Policy is a powerful tool able to make global changes to all of the computers in your environment. Before deploying a new policy, apply the policy to a test environment. For instance, an incorrect permission setting could prevent documents from being correctly redirected. Workers could be idled until the problem was identified and fixed. There are four folders that can be redirected: Application Data, Desktop, My Documents, and Start Menu. Opening the properties of My Documents, we can change the folder redirection settings. There are two different types of redirection available, Basic and Advanced. Basic redirection will be applied to all users affected by the GPO. The Advanced setting, unlike the Basic setting, allows the administrator to specify different locations for redirected folders, depending on the security group membership. For the purposes of Contoso, we'll select Basic redirection. Several options are available for the target folder location. We can create a folder for each user under the root path, redirect to a specific location, redirect to the local user profile location, or redirect the user's home directory. We will accept the default and create a folder for each user under the root path, which will be located on our Windows Storage Server. The Settings tab in the Properties dialog box contains a checkbox labeled Grant the User Exclusive Rights to My Documents. This option controls permissions on the newly created redirected folder. If this option is selected and the target directory doesn't yet exist, folder redirection will create the directory and set permissions on this directory to allow only the user and the local system full control over the folder. If this option is selected and the target directory already exists, then folder redirection will verify ownership of the directory. If the directory is owned by someone else, folder redirection will fail. Whatever permissions are in effect remain so by default. If you clear this checkbox, no changes are made to the permissions on the folder. The Start Menu folder can only be redirected with this option turned off. Several other options are available, such as what to do in the case of policy removal and, for backwards compatibility, My Pictures Preferences. Folder redirection is a group policy client-side extension that does not process policy on a background refresh cycle, but does process policy when a user logs on. Because of this, folder redirection will not happen until the next time a user logs on. We'll look at folder redirection again in the next demonstration. Let's move on to the next item on the agenda, centralizing backup. During the next several minutes, we will discuss several backup solutions and backup deployment options. We will discuss the strengths and weaknesses of several of the deployment options and then review the established Contoso Central Backup Plan. Many tools are available for backing up data. Some are fast and expensive, others are slow but reliable. The backup solution that's right for Contoso depends on many factors, including the following key points of interest. The amount of data that needs to be backed up on a routine basis. Can the backup hardware support the required load given the time and resource constraints? The reliability of the backup hardware and media. Can Contoso afford to sacrifice reliability to meet budget or time needs? The extensibility of the backup solution. Will this solution meet Contoso's needs as the organization grows? The speed with which data can be backed up and recovered. Can Contoso afford to sacrifice speed to reduce costs? The cost of the backup solution. Does it fit into the Contoso budget? Capacity, reliability, extensibility, speed, and cost are the issues driving Contoso's backup plan. If we can understand how these issues affect the organization, we'll be on track to select an appropriate backup solution. Some of the most commonly used backup solutions include the following. Tape drives are the most common backup devices. Tape drives use magnetic tape cartridges to store data. Magnetic tapes are relatively inexpensive but aren't highly reliable. Tapes can break or stretch. They can also lose information over time. The average capacity of tape cartridges ranges from 100 megabytes to 2 gigabytes. Compared with other backup solutions, tape drives are fairly slow. Still, the selling point is the low cost. Digital audio tape drives, or DAT drives, are quickly replacing standard tape drives as the preferred backup devices. DAT drives use 4mm and 8mm tapes to store data. DAT drives and tapes are more expensive than standard tape drives and tapes, but they offer more speed and capacity. DAT drives that use 4mm tapes can typically record over 30 megabytes per minute and have capacities of up to 16 gigabytes. DAT drives that use 8mm tapes can typically record more than 10 megabytes per minute and have capacities of up to 36 gigabytes with compression. Autoloader tape systems use a magazine of tapes to create extended backup volumes capable of meeting the high capacity needs of the enterprise. With an autoloader system, tapes within the magazine are automatically changed as needed during the backup or recovery process. Most autoloader tape systems use DAT tapes. The typical system uses magazines with between 4 and 12 tapes. The main drawback to these systems is the high cost. Magnetic optical drives combine magnetic tape technology with optical lasers to create a more reliable backup solution than DAT. Magnetic optical drives use 3.5-inch and 5.25-inch disks that look similar to floppies but are much thicker. Typically, magnetic optical disks have capacities of between 1 and 4 gigabytes. Tape jukeboxes are similar to autoloader tape systems. Jukeboxes use magnetic optical discs rather than DAT tapes to offer high-capacity solutions. These systems load and unload discs stored internally for backup and recovery options. Their key drawback is the high cost. Removable discs, such as iOmega Jazz, are increasingly being used as backup devices. Removable disks offer good speed and ease of use for a single drive or a single system backup. However, the disk drives and the removable disks tend to be more expensive than standard tape or DAT drive solutions. Disk drives provide the fastest way to backup and restore files. With disk drives, you can accomplish in minutes what it takes a tape drive hours to accomplish. So when business needs mandate a speedy recovery, nothing beats a disk drive. The drawbacks to disk drives, however, are the relatively high costs and less extensibility. There are many techniques for backing up files. The techniques you use will depend on the type of data you're backing up, how convenient you want the recovery process to be, and more. The following are the basic types of backups you can perform. Normal or full backups. All files that have been selected are backed up, regardless of the setting of the archive attribute. When a file is backed up, the archive attribute is cleared. If the file is later modified, this attribute is set, which indicates that the file needs to be backed up. Because the full backup stores all files and folders, frequent full backups result in faster and simpler restore operations. However, the amount of time it takes to run full backups often prevents using this backup type. Copy backups. All files that have been selected are backed up, regardless of the setting of the archive attribute. Unlike a normal backup, the archive attribute on files isn't modified. This allows you to perform other types of backups on the files at a later date. Differential backups are designed to create backup copies of files that have changed since the last normal backup. The presence of the archive attribute indicates that the file has been modified and only files with this attribute are backed up. However, the archive attribute on files isn't modified. This allows you to perform other types of backups on the files at a later date. The advantage of a differential backup is that it shortens restore time compared to a full backup or an incremental backup. However, if you perform the differential backup too many times, the size of the differential backup might grow to be larger than the baseline full backup. Incremental backups are designed to create backups of files that have changed since the most recent normal or incremental backup. The presence of the archive attribute indicates that the file has been modified and only files with this attribute are backed up. When a file is backed up, the archive attribute is cleared. If the file is later modified, this attribute is set, which indicates that the file needs to be backed up. The advantage of an incremental backup is that it takes the least time to complete. However, during a restore operation, each incremental backup is processed, which could result in a lengthy restore job. Daily backups are designed to backup files using the modification date on the file itself. If a file has been modified on the same day as the backup, the file will be backed up. This technique doesn't change the archive attribute of files. So now that we have a better understanding of the different technologies and methods available, let's see what choice would be best for Contoso. Based on the many solutions available, Contoso has developed a central backup plan. This plan includes a full backup on Saturday during the day and differentials during the week. Also in the central backup plan is a backup of the system state in Active Directory and other servers which will be performed each night. Let's move on to our next demonstration, configuring and implementing central backup. In this demonstration, we will set up shadow copy and implement a backup schedule on the Windows Storage Server. So far in this session, we have focused on centralizing Contoso's data. Now that the storage server has been configured and group policies have been enforced to redirect users' data folders, we can implement a backup solution that can handle data recovery, from a simple document deletion all the way to a major site failure. Shadow copies of shared folders provides point-in-time copies of files that are located on shared resources, such as a file server. With shadow copies of shared folders, Contoso users can view shared files and folders as they existed at points of time in the past. Accessing previous versions of the files or shadow copies is useful because they can recover files that were accidentally deleted, recover from accidentally overwriting a file, and compare versions of the file while working. The storage area specifies where the shadow copies are to be stored. Once the shadow copy is enabled, you cannot change the storage volume. The minimum amount of storage space that you can specify is 100 megabytes. The default storage size is 10% of the source volume. If the shadow copies are stored on a separate volume, change the default to reflect the space available on the storage volume instead of the source volume. Remember that when the storage limit is reached, older versions of the shadow copies will be deleted and cannot be restored. The default schedule creates two shadow copies per day, once at 7 a.m. and again at 12 p.m. You should avoid creating shadow copies more frequently than once per hour. There is a limit of 64 shadow copies that can be stored on a volume. When this limit is reached, the oldest shadow copy is deleted and cannot be retrieved. Using Create Now, we can immediately create a shadow copy. Since we logged onto this computer after the My Documents folder had been redirected, the administrator's My Documents folder will now be located on the Windows storage server in the User Data folder. We can see that shadow copies have been enabled because there is now a previous version tab for the files located within My Documents. If we were to accidentally delete a file, we would be able to retrieve it by using a previous version of My Documents. We'll manually create another shadow copy rather than wait until the next scheduled one. As with the files located in the My Documents folder, the My Documents folder itself is backed up with shadow copies. By selecting the Previous Versions tab in the Properties of My Documents, we can see and restore deleted files. Using Shadow Copy within Windows Storage Server 2003 provides end-user provisioning of basic data recovery for Contoso users, thereby reducing time constraints on Contoso administrators while increasing user satisfaction at the same time. The client software for shadow copies of shared folders is installed on the server in the System Root System 32 Clients TW Client directory. You can distribute the client software in a variety of ways. Consider the various options before deployment. Several tools are included in the Windows Server 2003 family, such as Group Policy, that can make deploying and maintaining the client software easier. Now that we've addressed the recovery of data from a simple document deletion by using Shadow Copy, we will now create a scheduled backup of all user data to enable us to recover from a major site failure. First, we will specify the User Data folder as our target to be backed up. And then, a location to back up the data. Normally, we would not back up the information onto the same computer, but rather another computer or backup device, preferably off-site. The backup utility supports 5 methods of backing up data on your computer or network. Copy backup, daily backup, differential backup, incremental backup, and normal backup. According to the Contoso Central Backup Plan, we're going to do a full or normal backup on Saturday and differentials during the week. We'll go ahead and set up the full Saturday backup now. We can also specify verification, compression, and shadow copy options. We'll accept the default settings. The backup options allow you to specify whether to overwrite data and whether to restrict access to your data. Again, we'll accept the defaults. Because we want this to be a scheduled ongoing job, we'll select the later option on the When to Backup page. As per the Contoso Central Backup Plan, we'll specify this backup job to take place every Saturday at 12 p.m. To perform this procedure, you must be a member of the administrators or backup operators group on the local computer, or you must have been delegated the appropriate authority. If the computer is joined to a domain, members of the domain admins group might be able to perform this procedure. As a security best practice, consider using RunAs to perform this procedure. Now let's return to the presentation to see how Data Protection Manager can help enhance what we have already implemented. We'll now move on to our final item on the agenda, protecting data. Over the next few minutes, we will discuss what needs may arise that Data Protection Manager meets. There are 3 primary problems with conventional backup systems. First, recovery is unreliable and painful. The speed of tape-based recovery systems is constrained by the speed of the tape hardware, and it is vulnerable to failures or misalignments of the tape hardware, loss or damage to the tapes themselves, or unexpected unavailability of tapes or media. Verification procedures are necessary, but they add more time and overhead to an already complex and time-consuming process. Second, existing backup systems and processes are too complex, too slow, and too inefficient. Business needs drive the requirement for shorter backup times, but these are difficult to achieve because the volume of data requiring protection keeps growing. Conventional backup systems require too much manual scheduling and monitoring, and they are often not flexible enough to easily accommodate changes in disaster recovery planning caused by changes in the business or environment. Backup systems are typically used to meet four distinct types of protection needs: recovering individual files after loss or damage to specific items, recovering the entire contents of one or more servers after a failure, providing off-site data protection, and providing long-term archiving capability. Tape-based systems work better for the latter two requirements than for the first two, but most organizations have adopted a one-size-fits-all approach that tries to adapt tape systems to the time, space, and speed requirements of individual item or server recovery. Finally, backup costs are too high. Enterprise-scale backup systems have typically been built on two primary ways. The first way involves centralizing data to dedicated backup systems, which requires licensing individual agents for each machine to be protected, along with large-scale tape backup capability. The second way to perform local tape backups on individual servers, which multiplies the licensing and hardware purchase costs. In either case, however, the software and hardware acquisition cost pales in comparison to the labor and overhead cost of making, tracking, and keeping tape-based backups. These three factors lead to a number of difficulties and problems with conventional backup implementations. Recovery of even a single file requires the direct involvement of administrators and generally takes several hours for even a simple file recovery. Users can't recover their own files, which raises the cost and difficulty of what would otherwise be simple user-directed recoveries. Compared to disk-based backup, tape systems tend to be unreliable and inconvenient. However, proprietary disk-based backup systems are generally too expensive for widespread use, in part because of their relatively high purchase cost and in part because they are typically not well integrated with the Microsoft Windows operating system or with conventional backup solutions. Companies that depend on tape often find that their ideal recovery time objective, or RTO, is faster than their backup system is able to deliver. This leads to increasingly complex backup schedules and procedures, or to attempts to break up critical data in a way that allows backup processes to be more highly parallelized. DPM offers significant benefits over conventional tape-based systems. In this demonstration, we will deploy DPM agents to the computers we want to monitor with Data Protection Manager. To start protecting data after you have installed Data Protection Manager, or DPM, you must perform a series of required configuration tasks. You can also configure optional DPM features at this time, or you can wait and configure optional features at any time after DPM has been deployed. The Getting Started help topics provide instructions for performing each of the required and optional configuration tasks. Several configuration tasks must be completed before DPM is ready to begin protecting Contoso's data. We must install DPM file agents onto the file servers that we want to protect. We must also set up the storage pool, which is a set of disks on which the DPM server stores replicas, shadow copies, and transfer logs. Finally, we must set up a protection group. A protection group is a collection of data sources, volumes, folders, or shares, that share the same protection configuration and schedule. Let's install a file agent on each of the file servers that contain data that we are going to protect. After the file agent is installed on a file server, the server is referred to as a protected file server in the management task area. However, the data sources on the file server are not protected until we add them to a protection group, which we'll create later. The Install Agents wizard starts and displays a list of available file servers. Since this is the first time that we have used the wizard, DPM queries Active Directory to obtain a list of potential file servers. After the first agent installation, DPM displays the list of file servers in its database, which is updated once each day by the auto-discovery process. We'll select Contoso's storage server to install an agent on. On the Enter Credentials page, we'll use the administrator username and password for the Contoso domain, which is also a member of the local administrators group on the selected server. The file servers must be restarted before we can start protecting data. This restart is necessary to ensure that the file agent is installed correctly. After the restart, it may take a few more minutes before DPM can contact the file server because of the time required to start services. A status box is displayed to indicate whether the installation is successful. We cannot close this box until after the installation has succeeded or failed. We'll let this continue to run while we return to the presentation. Microsoft Operations Manager offers a management pack for Data Protection Manager. Backing up file servers to tape more than once a day is often not feasible because of the server performance degradation that tape backup causes. IT managers typically schedule a full tape backup once per week and perform incremental backups daily. This requires the use of mini tapes, a more expensive option than disk-based recovery, and creates the risk of greater daytime data loss and more difficult recovery from incremental backups. DPM provides efficient, continuous protection that offers several significant benefits. DPM provides more efficient data protection by logging and replicating byte-level changes to the files on the production servers. This makes backups more efficient and eliminates the problem of scheduling backup windows. In addition, because DPM captures changes as they happen instead of copying entire files, DPM backups place less load on production servers than conventional backup tools that have to copy entire files if even a single byte changes. DPM has flexible backup scheduling, which allows IT administrators to tailor the backup frequency to match the business value of the data. Another benefit is that DPM uses the Windows Server 2003 Volume Shadow Copy Services component to capture data from protected servers and create replicas that can be stored on the server running DPM. This allows you to browse and recover deleted or corrupted files from multiple points in time, and to save the data in those shadow copies to tape as part of the normal backup process. DPM is also able to provide protection from network outages and hardware failures. The DPM agent logs and backs up the data from each of the production servers to the server running DPM. If the production server goes down or is destroyed, a copy of the data is still available on the server running DPM. If the network goes down, the agent that is local on the production server continues to cache all the changes in the production server until the network is working again. You can minimize the impact that backups will have on the network by using DPM to throttle network traffic by setting limits for maximum network utilization. Recovering data using disk-based data protection is as fast and simple as browsing a set of folders on a file share and copying them directly from the server running DPM to the production server. DPM makes disk-based recovery smooth and simple. Because DPM is disk-based, it can take advantage of the additional reliability benefits of RAID for protection, an advantage over tape, because tape has the potential to be a single point of failure. IT administrators can easily browse the server running DPM to confirm that the shadow copy has been made and perform online checking and verification of the backup. Recovering information from a DPM backup is as simple as browsing a share and copying the needed data to the correct location on the production server. DPM monitors its backup jobs to ensure that they complete without error. It also provides practical recovery alternatives, including the ability for administrators to delegate recovery to file server administrators, help desk staff, or end users, and the ability to recover the contents of full servers and shares, not just individual files and folders. DPM makes it easy for end users to recover their own files. DPM is integrated with the Microsoft Windows XP operating system and Microsoft Office 2003, allowing users to recover previous versions of their files directly from the open and save dialog boxes in Office applications or from Windows Explorer. DPM offers the best overall value for data protection by lowering initial costs, administrative costs, and ongoing hardware and labor costs. By leveraging DPM to speed the recovery process, recoveries of accidentally deleted or corrupted files becomes much faster because the data is restored from disk rather than from tape. Backups of the server running DPM can be made to tape at any time without impacting the production server or network performance. Because DPM uses industry-standard hardware and software, its acquisition cost is much lower than that of any other proprietary data protection technology. Because DPM is part of Windows Server System, it is managed with familiar administrative tools such as Microsoft Management Console and Windows Explorer. Users can easily recover their own files using the simple copy and paste mechanism in Windows Explorer. DPM also leverages distributed file systems so end users can browse read-only shadow copies without having to know the location of the missing files on the server running DPM. Wizard-driven administration tools automate common tasks, enabling the administrator to get the job done with the fewest number of steps and the most intuitive commands. When initially installed, DPM automatically discovers all the production servers in the domain that needs to be protected. As new servers are added to the network, DPM discovers and alerts the administrator that there are unprotected servers in the environment, creating a smooth protection, recovery, and maintenance solution. Once it is deployed, DPM offers low ongoing administration costs compared to conventional backup systems. Simplified administration allows the delegation of recovery and simplified administration tasks, report creation, and process automation. DPM makes it easy to develop a protection schedule based on the business goals of the IT administrator, thereby simplifying the development of the protection schedule. DPM also monitors and fixes common protection problems, alerting the administrator when needs arise. In this demonstration, a continuation of the previous one, we will continue to set up DPM. The file agent install was a success. One thing to note, a file agent is controlled exclusively by the DPM server from which it is installed. You cannot assign an installed file agent to work with a different DPM server. New versions of the DPM file agent will be released to enhance functionality, to resolve issues with previous versions of the file agent, or as part of an update to the DPM server. In some cases, you must update the file agent to maintain compatibility with DPM software. In other cases, you can choose whether or not to update the file agent. Showing this process is outside the scope of this demonstration. However, using the help file that was shown earlier, you can find easy-to-follow steps that explain exactly how to upgrade your DPM file agents when it is time to do so. The next required task to complete for the DPM configuration is to add physical disks to the DPM storage pool. By opening the Disk Management Console on this server, we'll be able to see what disks are installed and available to the DPM application. For this session, we've added a new unformatted hard disk. When we access the Disk Management Console, Windows offers to prepare the disk for use. However, since DPM is a complete storage management solution, we will allow it to manage the disks. Note that we have one 16-gigabyte disk that is not initialized or available to the operating system. Let's add this disk to the storage pool. As with most DPM configuration tasks, these tasks are easily accessible from the Actions pane. We simply need to move the available disk to the Selected Disks pane. The System Disk or Disk 0 does not appear in this dialog box. DPM can only use disks that are physically separate from the System Disk for storing replicas and log files. The dialog box states that all the data will be erased from the disk as DPM initializes and formats it. When DPM takes control of this disk, the disk becomes unavailable to the operating system. You will not see this disk in Windows Explorer as an accessible volume, and it will appear in the Disk Management Console as an unallocated dynamic disk. As we select the disk in the DPM console, we can view the current status of the disk to see how much is allocated for a protected server. To start synchronizing the file server to this storage pool, we'll create our first protection group. Again, DPM provides the link in the Actions pane to access this task. Since this wizard configures the core of the DPM functionality, it provides additional information to help explain how DPM will protect Contoso's data. We'll start by assigning a descriptive name for the storage group. Plan ahead and use names that will help you and others identify the usage of the protected servers for this group. If you have not done so yet, you can deploy the DPM file agent from here to make additional file servers available. We have two options for choosing what files and folders are protected on each server. We can specify a local path on the target server, or we can select the protected files using a shared folder path. Remember, the DPM file agent helps manage the replicas, so either path is equally valid on the target server. You should be aware that we've designed DPM to protect data, not as a system recovery application. You will need to save system state data separately to use the automated system recovery features. This may seem like a drawback, but by keeping these systems separate, you will be able to perform disaster recovery tasks quicker than you would if they were together. DPM will automatically calculate the amount of disk space required to protect the selected folders. The allocated disk space only partially reflects the amount of data in the protected files. The files that we are protecting in the file server take up less than 8 megabytes of disk space, but the DPM server needs to allocate a little over 4 gigabytes to protect the files. This is based on several factors. First, the replica itself requires space allocated for either 1.5 times the size of the protected folder or 1.5 gigabytes, whichever is larger. Next, shadow copies, which allow the end user to recover previous versions of data, require 550 megabytes of allocated space. And finally, the transfer logs require a minimum of 700 megabytes of allocated disk space. Now we can specify how and when the protected data gets replicated to the DPM server. The initial replica build can take some time to complete and require a considerable amount of network bandwidth. With this in mind, you can schedule the initial replication during off hours. Alternately, you can choose to transfer the data yourself using removable media such as tape or removable disks. Expect this option to take extra time to complete. By default, the DPM server will synchronize the data between the file server and the DPM server hourly. This will provide your network with a high level of data recovery in the case of a system failure. The server will also create a shadow copy of the file server 3 times during a normal business day. If you decide these settings are not optimal for your organization, you can fine-tune the settings by adjusting some of the advanced options. If the bandwidth is a major concern between the file server and the DPM server, you can throttle the bandwidth usage. The on-the-wire compression option allows more data throughput through with less impact on the network performance. However, this option does add to the CPU processing load on both the DPM server and the file server. You can schedule a daily consistency check during off-peak hours to ensure that the replica is consistent with the protected data. Keep in mind that the performance of the file server will be affected while the consistency check is running. From the Shadow Copy tab, we can increase or decrease the frequency from which the server takes a snapshot of the protected files. The server estimates the recovery goals set by your configuration. According to the default DPM settings, our maximum exposure to data loss due to a server failure is 1 hour, meaning that you will be able to restore data back to 60 minutes ago. You will also be able to restore data for the last 21 days on the protected file server. Before finishing the wizard, we can review our settings to make sure that everything is correct. The protection group will take up to a minute to complete. During this time, the server is creating the group, notifying the agent on the target server's file agent, and allocating the space required for the replica and log files on the local DPM disk pool. Each of these steps has been completed successfully. Since we specified in the wizard that we wanted to create the replica immediately, DPM reports that it is in the process of creating the replica. For this example, the process should only take a few minutes. In your environment, you will need to wait for all the data in the protected files to transfer over your network. Microsoft Operations Manager offers a management pack for Data Protection Manager. With the DPM Management Pack for Microsoft Operations Manager, an administrator can centrally monitor the state of data protection and recovery for multiple DPM servers and the file servers that they protect. The Management Pack also monitors key health and performance indicators on DPM servers. The DPM Management Pack also monitors the state of the DPM database and service health, server performance, and key indicators such as disk availability and configuration changes to volumes protected by DPM. For protected file servers, the DPM Management Pack monitors the state of connectivity with DPM, data recovery operations for protected volumes, and replicas and shadow copies that are stored on the DPM server. We can see this in action in our final demonstration, Managing DPM with MOM. In this final demonstration, we will show how the Contoso administrators can easily monitor their DPM servers and computers protected by DPM with Microsoft Operations Manager 2005 and the DPM Management Pack. You must install the MOM agent on each DPM server that you want to manage in MOM. During the installation, you will specify an account to use as the agent action account. The MOM agent uses the agent action account to access providers and to run responses on the local computer. By default, the local system account is used. However, you can provide credentials for a domain or local computer account. As a security best practice, we recommend that you use a low privilege local account for the agent action account. Using local system or another account that has administrator credentials on the DPM server might present security issues if a MOM process is compromised. The first step to installing a management pack is to download the DPM Management Pack from the DPM Management Pack download site, and then extract the files to a folder on the MOM management server. We've already done this prior to the session, so we'll move on to the next step, importing the DPM Management Pack into MOM 2005. The MOM Administrator Console contains a wizard that will help us to import the DPM Management Pack. Next, we browse to the folder that contains the DPM Management Pack, Microsoft System Center Data Protection Manager MP.AKM. If multiple management packs were located in that folder, we would see a list displayed in the Select Management Packs page. The Microsoft System Center Data Protection Manager will now be imported into Microsoft Operations Manager 2005. Service discovery is the process of discovering roles, components, and relationships for managed computers. Each management pack collects service discovery data that is specific to the technology it supports. Many features of a management pack are not available until after service discovery data is collected for the first time. For the DPM management pack, service discovery runs a script that discovers DPM servers, the file servers that they protect, and the volumes on the protected file servers. MOM uses information about the outcomes of the discovery process to display status in state views. The DPM Management Pack, by default, collects service discovery data every 15 minutes. Therefore, service discovery data might not appear in the MOM operator console until up to 15 minutes after the Management Pack is deployed. To begin using the new DPM Management Pack, let's open the operator console. The Microsoft Operations Manager Operator Console allows the Contoso administrators to use the new DPM Management Pack, which enables them to monitor DPM servers, monitor data protection activities on file servers protected by DPM, and diagnose and resolve problems on remote DPM servers. In the Computer Groups pane of the Operator Console, when the discovery process has successfully taken place in the CDPM01 server, it will be classified as a Microsoft System Center Data Protection Manager 2006 server within MOM. A DPM Management Pack allows us to view DPM alerts within the following subsets. Data Protection Alerts allow us to view DPM alerts for protected file servers, monitor connectivity issues, DPM recovery operations, and the state of replica and shadow copy jobs for protected volumes. Server alerts allow us to view DPM alerts for DPM servers, monitor database availability and service health in DPM, DPM server performance, the availability of disks in the storage pool, configuration changes to volumes protected by DPM, failures to update permissions used in end-user recovery of protected data sources, and discovery of new servers on the network. The DPM Management Pack also enables us to view several performance measures for DPM servers. These performance measures are CPU usage, which measures the percent of the CPU usage over the past 24 hours. Disk usage, in which the current disk queue length and disk percent idle over the past 24 hours are measured. The available memory over the past 24 hours. And finally, network usage of the DPM servers and protected computers. The DPM Management Pack also includes several tasks. These tasks are available from the Tasks pane on the right side of the MOM operator console. The Connect to DPM Computer Protecting the Server task creates a remote desktop connection to the DPM server that is protecting the selected file server. The remaining two tasks, Start DPM Service and Stop DPM Service, starts and stops, respectively, the DPM service on the selected DPM server. As you have seen today, by using the DPM Management Pack, the Contoso administrators can centrally monitor the state of data protection and recovery for their DPM servers, as well as the file servers that they protect, in Microsoft Operations Manager 2005. The Management Pack also monitors key health and performance indicators on DPM servers. For more information about the DPM Management Pack, a Management Pack guide is provided. This guide explains how to use the DPM Management Pack to monitor the state of data protection and recovery for DPM servers and the file servers that they protect, and to monitor key health and performance indicators on DPM servers. The guide also presents an overview of the DPM Management Pack, provides instructions for deploying it in an existing MOM environment, and provides a technical reference to the computer attributes, computer groups, and notification groups and rules that define its behavior. Let's summarize today's session. In today's session, we started with a brief review of Contoso's past and present data management and backup practices. We then identified several key challenges for Contoso in order to bring the company above its current basic standing on the IOM, and found that there were several solutions and tools available to help. We learned about Windows Storage Server and group policies and how they provide a better and more secure way of implementing and enforcing centralized storage of user and application data. Next, we discussed several technologies and options available for backup, such as digital audio tapes and full, incremental, and differential backups. We discovered that some technologies are quickly becoming obsolete, such as the traditional tapes, while others may allow for quicker and more efficient restores, such as disk backup. Finally, we discussed some common issues with data storage that result in the need for something like DPM. We then saw how DPM addresses these needs and challenges. To get more information on the products and technologies we have covered today, we have some online resources available that can help. For the most comprehensive technical information on Microsoft products, visit the main TechNet website at www.microsoft.com/technet. Additionally, visit www.microsoft.com/technet/hot-16 for more information on books, courses, certifications, and other community resources that related directly to this particular session. There are a number of other resources that are available for Microsoft. You can find some informative books on the Microsoft Press website. Microsoft Windows Server 2003 Administrator's Companion by Sharon Crawford, Charlie Russell, and Jason Gerend, published by Microsoft Press, is the comprehensive guide to planning, deployment, and everyday maintenance, straight from the experts. Microsoft's Windows Group Policy Guide by Darren Marila, Derek Melber, William Stanek, and Dee Melber, published by Microsoft Press, provides the in-depth information you need to use group policy to administer your enterprise system, direct from industry experts and the Microsoft Group Policy team. There are also a number of good books from other publishers. You can find other useful resources at all major bookstores and online retailers, such as Inside Windows Storage, Server Storage Technologies for Windows Server 2003, Windows 2000 and Beyond, by Dilip C. Naik and Dilip Naik, published by Addison Wesley Professional, is the first book to provide a comprehensive look at new and emerging Microsoft storage technologies. Microsoft also has instructor-led courses if you prefer the classroom-style environment. Microsoft Learning develops courseware called Microsoft Official Curriculum, or MOC, which includes e-learning, MS Press books, workshops, clinics, and Microsoft Skills Assessment. MOC is offered in instructor-led environments. It offers comprehensive training courses for IT professionals, support, and implement solutions using Microsoft products and technologies. The course that best supports this session, Implementing and Managing Microsoft Windows Storage Server 2003, is available now. For more information, please visit www.microsoft.com/learning. There is also an assessment program available that can help you test your knowledge. Microsoft Skills Assessment is a free online learning tool. It's an easy way for IT professionals to check their skills. You can quickly check your skills for implementing or managing Microsoft products or business solutions. Just take a short 30-question assessment and see how well you know your stuff. The skills assessment includes a personalized learning plan, which includes links to Microsoft official curriculum, specific TechNet articles, Microsoft Press books, and other Microsoft learning content. There's also a way to measure how well you did compared with others who took the same assessment. Microsoft Skills Assessment is an expanding learning platform. Available now are assessments for Windows Server 2003, including security and patch management, Exchange Server 2003, Windows Storage Server, Office 2003, and VisualStudio.net. If you want to take your skills assessment to the next level, a number of certification programs are available. In the highly competitive IT job market, how can you differentiate yourself from the next candidate? The Microsoft Certification Program provides that edge. Earning a specific accreditation provides objective validation of the ability to successfully perform critical IT functions. Embraced by industry professionals worldwide, Microsoft Certification remains one of the most effective ways to reach long-term career goals and is a surefire way for companies to develop and retain valuable IT staff. There are a number of accreditations available, starting with the basic Microsoft Certified Professional, or MCP. You can choose to go and become a fully certified System Administrator, or MCSA, or a System Engineer, MCSE, or a Desktop Specialist, MCDST. Away from the infrastructure side, the MCDBA certification covers the SQL Server products. For more information about the certification program, visit www.microsoft.com/learning/MCP. This session was brought to you by TechNet. TechNet has gone through some changes recently, which I'm sure you'll find interesting to hear about. To help explain this in more detail, I'd like to introduce Ian Brackenberry, TechNet Subscriptions Product Manager, to cover these changes in more detail.
TechNet Plus Subscription introduces its newest offering, TechNet Plus Direct. With TechNet Plus Direct, subscribers get all of the benefits of TechNet Plus for 30% less. Subscribers receive fast, easy access to the tools and information they need to get the most out of Microsoft solutions. A subscription provides IT professionals with immediate online access to all the essential technical resources they need to resolve technical issues faster, get hands-on experience with the latest Microsoft technologies, and build technical skills. Subscribers now get immediate access to all their subscription features in one convenient location, our new online benefits portal. Subscribers get access through subscriber download to Microsoft full version software for evaluation and beta releases without time or feature limits. No more waiting for media shipments. This includes Microsoft Server, client, and application software titles. With full version software, subscribers can make informed decisions about new technologies and deployments at their own pace. For the toughest technical questions, a TechNet Plus subscription also comes with two complimentary professional support incidents. Subscribers can talk to a Microsoft support professional to quickly resolve their mission-critical technical issues fast. TechNet Plus also provides access to over 100 managed newsgroups. Subscribers can exchange ideas with other professionals and get expert answers to their technical questions within the next business day, guaranteed. In addition, subscribers can also chat with a Microsoft Search Assistant online for help finding the technical resources they need or for assistance with non-technical questions. Subscribers also get access to technical information and tools, including the TechNet Plus library containing the knowledge base, security updates, service packs, resource kits, and more. TechNet Plus offers proven value that far exceeds its cost. The two complimentary professional support incidents alone more than offset the cost of a TechNet Plus subscription. Add to that the evaluation and beta software and other technical resources, and TechNet Plus clearly boosts productivity. Every IT professional on the team needs one. TechNet Plus is available exclusively online without media shipments. For more information, please visit technet.microsoft.com/subscriptions. There are a number of free community resources available on TechNet. You can attend a regular chat with members of the product groups or technology specialists from Microsoft, or you can attend a webcast where you can see sessions like the one you've just watched, but presented live and with the ability to ask questions as you go. You can also read or post questions in public newsgroups. The newsgroup page lists the available groups and provides an interface from which you can read and post messages. TechNet Plus subscribers can use these groups to post questions, and through their subscription ID, are guaranteed a response from Microsoft support professionals and IT experts by the next business day. The main community site provides a comprehensive list of resources available, more than we can cover on this slide, and the page has some dynamic features with continually updated content. The events page provides dates and details about attending a live TechNet event. These events take place around the world and provide the opportunity for you to talk to Microsoft specialists face-to-face. And finally, the TechNet columns provide a variety of topics written by industry authors. And with that, thank you for taking the time to listen to this TechNet session.